thank you for coming this morning and all the work that all of you do. And if that sister-in-law talked to me, I'll be glad to talk to her on the phone, because what she don't want to hear is welcome to hell. Okay, they can't take time to hear about God, but they'll take time to hear about missing him. And you hate to be hateful, but I was born this way, okay? And all the tolerance people, for my money, go ahead and shoot them, okay? They're not going to get anything done. They never have gotten anything done. All they've ever gotten was in the way. And it just angers you when you know that the time is short and you have the truth and people won't listen to it. It just makes you mad. And my father taught me, he said, you can't get them all. I said, I understand. He said, you just preach the gospel and let it go, and God will take care of the rest. He'll do his part. You know what I'm saying? So that's what we do. And when you help us with the offering back there, it helps us to continue to spread the word of God. That's what we do. That's all we do. And I preach from the Bible. I don't have any poems. I don't have any ditties. I don't have any anything to tell you except what this book said. And if our nation would look what this book said, we wouldn't be in as much trouble as we are now. I wanted to throw up when those three pathological, godless murderers shot those people in Paris. I mean, they passed that lady on the street, and she was begging for her life. And they stopped and shot her dead in cold blood. She hadn't done a thing to anybody, was not a threat to anybody. And I've yet to hear the favorite word of the newscasters: she shot an unarmed man. I'm so tired of hearing that, I almost throw up every time they say it. If you weigh 300 pounds, as I do, and you're running at somebody who weighs 150, as Wes does, he's got a weapon coming at him. It doesn't have to be a gun or a knife. Somebody his size, and let's say a karate instructor, I can kill them with their hands. So can anybody else of that size. I'm so tired of tolerance. Let's be kind. Let's don't make anybody mad. Let's just accept what they do to us and go on. And as you will learn this morning, it's not going to ruin our country, because this country's falling on its own. We will be out of here before this happens, which I'm going to talk to you this morning. But no, we want you to know, Islam is the problem. Okay? Nobody wants to say it. We've got a highly educated president who won't even let it come out of his mouth. And how do you fight a war if you don't know whom you are fighting? And as I understand, I call Lane Roach people and Orkin, those people some of you call, their job is to kill the roaches. And the man comes and asks, where are they? And I say, well, I see them coming out of this. He said, okay, I'll spray that whole area. I'll put out traps after I'm gone for them to come and eat. I'll put out poison food for them to come and eat and take back to the nest. And I am going to bombard that area to where if anything in there is alive, it'll be dead 15 minutes after I'm gone. I said, good. That's why I called you. And why does he do that? Very simple. He's at war with the roaches. If you are at war, the object of war is to defeat the other side. Not to make agreements, not to try to get to a neutral understanding. If I'm at war with you, my job is to kill you, and your job is to kill me. And until the United States of America understands that, they'll allow three people to come into a city that obviously had 90,000 policemen looking for him after the event. And 90,000 people can't keep three people from killing somebody? Are you out of your mind? We have been lied to so much and so long, some of us are beginning to believe maybe we're wrong. I love that insurance ad. I don't know what company it is. The guy comes on there and says, you have a little fender bender. Somebody backs into your car and you call it in to report it. And they ask you, where did it happen? Was it raining? Was it day or night? Did you have a dog with you? So they ask you so many questions that in 15 minutes, they've got you convinced the accident was your fault. And then you remember after you hang up, you weren't even in the car. It was parked. And this is what America's news media has you and I doing. Have you noticed we haven't had any trouble out of Japan in many, many years? Why? Because we told them we have an atomic bomb, and if you don't stop, we're going to drive it on you. And they saw, we do not believe that. They believed it Tuesday. They hadn't been any trouble since, except a bad Toyota every now and then. Okay. Germany had a war machine. There's not been anything like it in the world before. And they pushed it too far. We unloaded on them. We haven't heard from Germany in many, many years other than say, how y'all doing now? Right? And I want to get some stickers made up, but nobody's got enough guts to put them on their car that just says, make Islam Waslam. Okay? That's the only way, right? The only way this is going to end. This is a religious war. Our government says it isn't, but it is. The people you are fighting, we'll tell you about in just a minute, but I'm pretty hot about it. Give me the bomb in 30 minutes and an airplane, I'll end that thing. I'm not hateful. If you're going to have a war, let's have one. If you're not going to have a war, let's be peaceful. Pick one. That's what we do when we preach. We're going to tell you about a Savior. You're lost. Right now you're going to hell. Pick one. You can go to hell or go to heaven. Pick one. You don't have to be a theologian. Pick one. It's not difficult. All that extra is so we can continue to get paid. All the preaching is there's up and down and you go into one or another. You get Ezekiel in your face, you'll know you got somebody. So we'll pray. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, I'm glad you're patient because I'm not. And we thank you for what you've taught us through your word. You've taught us how to have peace. You've taught us to be people of peace, and we want to. You've taught us we have a perfect right to defend of ourselves against people who would kill us. We have a perfect right to keep people out of our country who don't want to abide by the laws therein. We would just ask you to put your hand on Washington, D.C., and I ask you to do that, if you would, and change the thinking of the people up there and let them go back to the days of Harry Truman and the days of Douglas MacArthur and the days of Patton and the days of the war heroes of the Second World War that understand what war is and how to conduct it. You have told us how in your book, but our country's quit reading your book. So we just ask that you be with us in the days that we have left. We ask you to hasten your coming, not because of selfishness, but we see where the world is going. You've already told us. We're going to expound it in a minute. You've named the people who were trying to kill us 2,000 years before we existed. You've told us how to get rid of burdens like this, and we won't listen as they did in the Old Testament. Help us, Lord, to follow you more, to do your word. Protect us, please, and help us turn our thinking back to the Bible. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Now you will find that the Muslims that you're talking about today, they come from Esau. You go all the way back to Genesis, and you will find Abraham. Abraham is a revered person in three great religions. Abraham is revered in Christianity. Abraham is revered in Judaism. Abraham is revered by the Muslims, by the way. There's been more written about Abraham than there has about Jesus in the world today. So we need to go back and find out what happened in the beginning. And he had a couple of kids named Jacob and Esau. You remember that? Okay. Jacob is the Jew. The land of Jacob. We will have the tribulation that will come after the rapture of the church is here. And we're gone. The seven-year period of tribulation is called, by Scripture, the time of Jacob's trouble. I mean, this is naming somebody 2,000 years ago, right? The Jew has had trouble and will have trouble until they turn to their Messiah. And they have turned away from him, didn't accept, missed their appointment with Christ. He is their Messiah, which they didn't acknowledge. We acknowledge him, and we look for him to return, hopefully soon. They, strangely enough, if you went to Israel this morning, you would see billboards. You would see signs on buildings. You would see monuments. You would see all the kind of things telling you that Messiah is coming. They're right, but he's coming for the second time. They missed him the first time. How sad. Walked among them, taught them, wanted to put them under his wings, as he called it, and they would not. When it says they would not, that implies what? Choice. They chose not to. We fall out with the hyper-Calvinists. I know some good Christian Presbyterians. I know some good Christian Baptists. And we find out that hyper-Calvinism, though, believes everything is predestined. It's no use for you to do anything, George. Just sit there. Everything's already decided in your life. You don't have to make any decisions. You don't have to do anything. Whom God will save, he'll save, and whom he won't, he won't. That's a lie from hell. It's based on the choice. Whosoever will may come. If you exercise your will, you have made a decision, have you not? You have chosen to follow Christ or chosen not to. So what we have now, the churches have turned into, let's hire an entertainer, and on Sunday we'll go and maybe he'll make us feel good for at least a couple of days, coming into bad next week. And that's what religion has turned into in America. I would ask you to hold up your Bibles, but I wouldn't embarrass you. When I went to church from the age of nothing, because I was there when my mother was pregnant, from the age of zero till the day I never saw them again, I was in church and never asked once, could I miss? Do I have to go? It wasn't a matter of choice. At my house, you were going. You a Christian? Yeah, then get in God's house on Sunday. Where's your Bible? I don't know. You better find it. You don't go to church without a Bible. How do you know the man up there is not lying to you? I'm like the Bereans. The Apostle Paul came to Berea and began to teach the Scriptures. Now, when you get to the Apostle Paul, you get to somebody who knows, don't you? They were out front checking him, see what he had to say. So who is this fellow? It's Apostle Paul. Okay, good. What's he going to teach on? Good. All right, I'll check him. And they checked him. Didn't embarrass Paul. Why? He was going to tell the truth. You see, the truth doesn't hurt anybody who's saved. Hell doesn't scare me. I'm not going. And I often ask, preaching to crowds of people, I said, have you ever found it strange that I seem to care more about you going to hell than you do? Why is that? Why should I care what happens to you? I'm in. I'm safe. Why should I bother? Best of luck, George, and whatever you do. That isn't it, isn't it? We are compelled to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's what we're told to do. Now, when Abraham had a couple of kids, you've read the story of Jacob and Esau and the soup and all that stuff. And you've read the battles that they had. And you understand, though, that Esau means Edom. E-D-O-M. Okay? Edom. Edom, that's Arabs. This isn't new that three guys got together and decided to shoot up a printing shop in Paris. This has been going on for thousands of years. Understand, these are killers. These are pagan, pathological killers. Well, not all of them are. Listen, let me put it in the 2015. Let me put it in our terms so you'll understand, because nobody's probably told you this. If you vote for a man who votes for abortion, you are an abortionist because you enable him to do what he did. Please understand that. When voting time comes, I don't care if you're a Republican or Democrat. I used to love Strom Thurmond. He was everything at one time or another. He ran as a Democrat and won, as a Republican and won, as an independent and won, as Strom Thurmond and won. And the year after he died, where he rode in, elected him again. See, why? He told truth. I always laughed. Strom Thurmond was such an impact on the state of South Carolina. A few years back, Chevrolet invented a car and called it the Storm. You may have remembered that. Certainly hope you didn't buy one. Okay? And it was a piece of junk, but it was for, you could get a nice little ride for a few dollars. But the good old Chevrolet dealers in South Carolina sent them back immediately to Detroit and said, you spelt Strom wrong. didn't make sense to call a car a storm anyway, did it? So we find out that these people who have been murderers, killers, God offenders since the beginning have gone through 20 centuries still pursuing their goal of taking over the world. They almost did it once. They took over all the Arab countries and they were going into Paris, France. And was it Charles Hertel? Isn't that his name, Jack? My historian over there. They called him the Hammer. Charles Hertel. He stopped them at Paris and turned the tide. Is that the only world then? That's been their goal. And you say, well, not all of them. Yes, all of them. If you have a Quran and associate yourself with the Quran, then it is your blood duty to follow everything in that book. Don't tell me good and bad. That's like saying I'm real glad they only shot me with a 22 instead of a 38. What does it matter? You're dead. And we can't accept that. Well, there's some good Muslims I know. There aren't any good Muslims. There aren't any good non-Muslims. There aren't any good people. Remember when the young man came to Jesus and said, you are good? And Jesus said, why are you calling me good? Nobody's good but God. You calling me God? He doesn't write it that way, but that's what it means. You mean you think I'm God? By the way, it's the only thing you got right today. That's who I am. Only God is good. And we in the Christian religion have let down the barriers and let down the beliefs that we once believed in, that we're in such a mess, nobody who knows who believes what. You can get 19 different beliefs by listening to 19 different denominations. I mean, why don't you just read the book? Now, the book's going to tell you that Edom, which is the Arabs, in the end, which you'll read Revelation, that if you will read that, you will find out that Edom the Arabs, has already been destined to die on the hills of Jerusalem. You can't get more simple than that. Naming the people, the place, and where they're going to die. It's all in the book. Well, we don't read the book anymore. Have you heard anybody on television mention anything concerning Christianity versus Muslims on your TV set? Not one word. Why? Well, we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. They hurt my feelings the other day. Bunch of pathological killers. They had a bishop of the Church of England who runs a church in Iran. And they were interviewing him, and he said, yes, they came for a Christian family in my village. Man and wife and three little children. And they told them to accept Allah and to follow Muhammad or they would be killed. And the little children said, no, we've always, 3, 4 years old, we have always followed Yeshua, Jesus, and we will continue to follow Yeshua no matter what the cost. And they took out a pistol and shot each child right in the head in front of their parents and drugged them off. I know the use they had for her, and they probably killed him later. And you want me to be tolerant of that? What is the matter? Where did you leave your brain? People like that will be killed, and anybody around them needs to be killed too. The Hannity had somebody on, one of those generals from the Second World War. And boy, he was red hot. He said, we're doing it all wrong when you have a war, as I told you a while ago. Have a war. We know that these people are setting up their headquarters in Syria. Go bomb Syria. Well, you see, that would cause, you don't care what it causes. You're already in a war that's going to lead to a nuclear holocaust. What more damage can you do? Are they there? Go get them. Well, that would be war. We're in a war now. End it. How did you do when you played football, guys? Did you have a coach that said, now we want you to tackle the other team, but be careful and don't hurt anybody? We didn't hear any of that. We heard number 59 is a heck of a halfback. Somebody hit him every play. Whether he's got the ball, hadn't got the ball, has seen the ball, knows where the ball is, or even knows he's in a ball game. I don't care. When the ball is centered, somebody hit that sucker. Why? Because if you do it enough, he won't want to run the ball anymore. He won't do that. I love Lawton Drew. Lawton comes to church with us from Mullins, and Lawton was a bad dude when he was young. And he played football and went to the Shrine Bowl, and we were talking about it. I played a little myself, and we were discussing it. He said, yes, that I'd notice we'd get underway, and they'd come around my side 2 or 3 times, and I'd bust them. He said, after the first half, I could have sat down. They didn't come on my side anymore. They said, let's go this way. That's what happens when you're winning. You know why they keep coming at us like they keep coming? Because they're winning. They think they won last week. Well, we killed all your people. That's okay. It's just 3. They got 72 virgins, except the lady. She probably got 72 new pair of shoes or something. But that's just 3. We have 1.5 billion ready to take their place. Now, what you going to do? Be tolerant? I mean, you got 1.6 billion Edomites whose goal from birth is to take over the world. The first thing a baby hears in a Muslim family, the daddy reaches over and whispers in his little ear, that little saying they sued, God is great. They begin getting him ready to die the day he is born. His education is pushed to give your life for Allah and Muhammad. Don't say anything bad about the prophet. Okay, I won't. You tell me what he prophesied. Nothing. His own people challenged him and said, you're supposed to be a prophet. Have you done any miracles? All the prophets in the book did miracles. Have you done a miracle? No. Will you do a miracle? No. His answer was, the Quran is my miracle. Is it? That's your claim to fame, is it? Islam was built on the sword. That's why they have it on their flag. One country they were trying to overtake, knew they were coming. They knew they'd cut your head off. They knew they'd slit your throat and they'd get you from behind, put that thing on your neck. And do you want to submit, which is what jihad means, do you want to submit to Allah? Well, these people knew, and they'd seen the nation before them, that if they said no, their neck went against the blade. And you cut your own neck, right? So these guys were pretty smart. They got together and said, look, from now on, this means yes, and this means no. So they changed it. And when they were asked, they said, yes, I want to follow Allah. What they were saying, and it made up, they were saying, now they were saying, no, not a chance. Thousands of Christians will die this week at the hands of Muslims. And our country will do absolutely nothing about it. Lord, resurrect Harry Truman. What do you think he'd do? And I watch those generals who have been through wars all their life, Americans, and they say over and over, if you don't go and get them now, it's going to be too late later. And we got a Congress and a Senate and a so-called president that hadn't got sense enough to let the army fight the war, and the congressmen try to keep their money. That's all they do anyhow. The main job of a senator or a congressman in the United States of America is to remain a senator and remain a congressman. He gets up thinking that, he works to that end, and he's scared to death when he thinks something may interfere with it. Wake up, live. We have people sitting in the West. I won't tell you where. There are mountains out there that have tunnels in them that you ain't even going to get near. And in those tunnels are maps of the world and whatever. And in that tunnel, rooms off of it, they can bomb nuclearly any place in the world they want to without leaving. Just push the buttons. That's all I got to do. Why won't they? Well, it'll really make a lot of people mad. Dead people don't get mad. Like Mr. Roach. I laughed. I called Lane Roach Service out here. Ann did. Ann's sick, by the way. You pray for her. She had an operation of sorts. And she'll try to be with us next week. But she said, honey, I saw a roach. I said, well, if you saw one, there's 1,000 behind the wall. Know that. He just got caught in the lights. Call the man. So she called Lane Roach Service or whatever. And they said, yeah, you saw a roach. Yeah, we need roach service. And the guy came to the door, and I opened the door and had his little thing on, Lane's, and I was glad to see him. And I said, and your name is? Swear, Mr. Roach. Right. Loved him. Had it written over there, Mr. Roach. Little beady nose, little lashes, and I'm wanting to laugh in his face, and I didn't want to be ugly, but I'm ugly anyhow. So I went to Ann, and I said, Ann, you're not going to believe this one. You know what? I said, the Mr. Roach is at the door. And so we loved him. He got the job done because he didn't come in and say, where is that roach? He explained what I already knew. If you saw one roach on that counter, there are thousands behind that counter that you can't see. Where did you see him? Do you know where he came from by any chance? Because I'm going to tell them all. Call me next week if you see one, and I will come back. Tell them all. That was his job. That's what I wanted. Islam, yeah, well, we don't want to make you mad, but if you do and keep doing what you're doing, we're going to kill you all. Do you understand that? Well, we believe, I don't care what you believe, one more dead American, we're bombing you. You got it? And then turn Baghdad to glass. Soldiers, men, women, children, whoever's there, all of them. Well, son, that's not an attitude to have. You better read what the Lord God Almighty told the prophets to do. He said, you go down there and you kill them. You kill the men, you kill the women, you kill the children. You kill the donkeys, you kill the sheep. You kill the chickens. Don't leave anything down there living. So that's hateful. No, they were sinning so much that all the children were being born blind, with one arm, disfigured bodies. You couldn't get a regular person out of all of them. The only thing left to do was what? Get rid of them. So he tells the prophet, go down there and do it. And the prophet, being a human being, and all human beings think they know more than God, took the army and went down there and killed everybody almost. You came back and God said, you kill everybody? Well, you see. No. Did I tell you to kill everybody? Yes. Well, who did you leave? Well, we heard some of the cattle, and they were so healthy, we just brought them back with us rather than know they're carrying the diseases. And we did bring the king back. You brought the king back. The head man you brought back. The one that caused all rebellion against me, you let live. What did I tell you to do? Well, you see, here they go. See? And it started back again. Well, you think we can kill all of the Muslims? Not saying that. It's the only way to solve the problem. Well, who's going to kill them? The Lord Jesus Christ. Well, when's that going to happen? It's going to happen when the Lord comes back and sees what's going on. And by the way, he asked the question, when I return, will I find the faith on the earth? You see, the lack of preaching Bible gospel in this country has gotten to the point that that applies to us. Will I even find the faith on the earth when I return? How terrible. What an awful condemnation for us and the rest of the world. But he's going to come, the Bible said. It names the people in Ezekiel 38. I've taught you this chapter before. It names the people. You read it when you go home. Word of the Lord came unto me saying, by the way, when Ezekiel and Jeremiah and Zechariah and the prophets say, the word of the Lord came to me. They're not saying, I think this is what the Lord wanted. They aren't saying, it sounds like God to me. 3,500 times in the scripture, when a statement is made and it says, the word of the Lord came to me, meant God Almighty was giving them a definite message. Had we learned that and followed that, we wouldn't have near the trouble we have today. If you aborted 4,000 people's babies in 1954 when I was in high school, somebody would have put you in jail. Now we have voted into law, it's perfectly all right if you can't be bothered with having your baby lady. If it's going to get in your time schedule and interrupt your job, and it's going to make you feel bad, and you don't have the strength to take care of one more baby, go ahead and kill him. I know what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that abortion is murder. I used to speak to little Brenda. Brenda's gone home. She's with the Lord today. She's up there cheering us, getting angels. Look, listen to them. And Brenda came to me one time. She said, Beaver, I had an abortion when I was young. And she was crying. And I said, it's okay, honey. You're saved now. That's taken care of now. I even have better news for you. God's forgiven you for that. And now I have whipped cream and a cherry to put on that news. You're going to get to see your baby. Because when you killed that baby, his soul went to be with the Lord. And now that you're a Christian, when you die, you get to be with the Lord and you'll get to meet your baby for the first time. Is that good news or what? Will you see, I know what you want to do. You're not through playing musical beds, so you don't have time to have a baby and care for it. One of the greatest miracles on the face of the earth. I don't argue with fools like that, as you probably have understood. I just ask one quick, get in there, T. You mean you are for abortion? Well, yes, women's rights, you know. So you for abortion? Yes, I just think it's a shame your mother wouldn't. Chew on that a while. It saved us all a lot of trouble. It's a shame for your convenience. A beautiful little baby of God has to be flushed down the toilet of a hotel, a hospital, a back alley, a doctor's office. What's the matter with your thinking? Got any idea where you left your brain? You didn't bring it with you. We've got a nation walking around in stupidity is what we have. How sad. How sad it is. And as those of you who have been through the war of divorce, that's terrible. It's forgivable. But had they told you when you got married and enforced it, this is forever. Now, before you go any further, understand this is forever. Do you understand that? That changed some things, wasn't it? How sad. I like to die the other day, two or three days ago. Middle of the night, and then Ann had had a colostomy. And Ann takes blood medicine because her blood is so thin. And I'm sitting there, and the lady said, you're going to have to go to the hospital in Charleston. She said, why? He said, I couldn't get all the polyps or whatever you call them. And the ones I got, you bleed so badly, I'm not equipped here that if you really started to hemorrhage, you'd just die. And I'm going to have to send you to USMC, and they're equipped to handle that. And you'll have to get the rest of them out down there. And I'm listening to this. And me and Ann have had our wars. She's won a few. I've won a few. Some of them were tied. Not really. She'll get me later. But I'm sitting there at night and did not go to sleep all night. And said, God, if you take her, will you please take me with her? I neither can nor want to live in this world without her. I sleep all night. Kept praying. I can hear the Lord say, look, you've already said that. Go to sleep. And over and over and over, I said, Lord, don't let her die. And you get to thinking of what it'd be like if she did. That'll keep you up. Can't sleep a wink. The things you think and the pain of it hadn't even happened. And the pain of it. And say, Lord, have mercy. How do people live who have voluntarily killed their little baby? How does somebody live after they do that? Who would want to? Who could ever pick up a little baby again without thinking, I had one of these. I flushed him down the commode. I didn't have time to take care of it. As Hannity said, you know good evil, SOB. What do you mean? You don't have time to do what God asks you to do. You're going to last maybe 100 years. My friend back here said his mom just turned past 100 years old. Bless her heart. We don't get to live much longer than that, and we know that. But God is forever. Forever. How sad. And then I think of what he forgave me of. And say, what a God. What a Savior. Is it really true? Am I really forgiven? Has he really washed me in his blood? Can he who knows all, the omniscient one, forget anything? Yeah, the Bible says he can forget your sins. Used to be a fellow who, the story went, the song went. I used to love to hear the kids sing it at Tabernacle Baptist in Greenville. And this guy died and he went to heaven and he kept chasing Jesus down. Jesus, yeah, could I have a word with you? What is it? You remember when I used to, and for a little while, Jesus put up with it till he too got wore out. And said, Bob, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't remember those sins anymore. Don't bring it up to me anymore. And I said, boy, that songwriter must have known what forgiveness is. Because somewhere down the line, he had done some things he was hoping was gone for sure. Just like you. And just like me. What a Savior who will say, look, I know you did wrong. You intended to do it. You didn't care what I thought. You didn't know who I was. And you did it anyway, even though in your lost condition, you knew what you were doing was wrong. And you did it anyway, didn't you? Yes. Well, I'll forgive you anyway. What a Savior. Do you know no other religion in the world, and there's thousands of them, have a Savior? Did you know no other religion in the world can point to somebody who died on their behalf? None of them can say, yes, our Savior not only came from God, He is God. And do I understand His word? No, I hadn't even read it all. Do I understand it in depth like the seminarians and the theologians? No. But I understand the part that says I was lost, but now I'm found. I understood that. You can have a boat accident out here on the ocean behind us, and the boat's gone, it's sunk, and there you are. The sharks are calling each other on the cell phone saying, we got one, lunch. You're 10 miles off coast and totally without hope. And somebody sees you and a helicopter comes and the Coast Guard pulls you out. And you don't understand how the message got to the Coast Guard. You know nothing about flying a helicopter. You wouldn't know how to let down that basket you get in and go back up if your life depended on it, even though it did. All you know is you are drowning and dying and have no hope. And a Savior came. You can't explain any of it except the Savior came, and now you're on shore again and everything's back like it was. That's all you know about it. I can't take the time or have the words to explain the hypostatic union between God and man, how the Lord Jesus can be 100% God and be 100% man, have a dual nature, and I don't understand that. I can't explain that to you. I can tell you it happened. I don't have to know that. All I have to know is He's a Savior and I'm a sinner, and if I will submit myself to Him, I don't have to worry about all that. He'll take care of all that, as He always did, and He always does. And we're in big trouble with a bunch of pathological killers. They're allowed to marry four wives. Of course, they can divorce two of them and marry four more. You know, it's endless. And where we have one child or two, they got one or two children or three by four wives, and they let two go and replace them, and then they got, you do the math. You can't beat them on the math. They'll take over your country. You watch TV this week. 750 areas in the country of France where French people aren't allowed to go. Are you kidding me? Why can't they go? Well, the Muslims live there. They don't allow anybody. They don't what? Are they the government? No. Do they have the army? No. Do they make the laws for your country? No. Then how are they keeping you out of that area? Fear. You see, we have a camp in North Carolina up near Raleigh right now training terrorists to kill us. They're there today. We know about it. We know where they are. We know how to get there, and we let them continue to be there. Do you know what they ought to do tomorrow? They ought to take the new recruits for Camp Lejeune. Give them all a gun, march them up there, and clean that place up. And say, if you don't want to do as we do, go somewhere else. You're not going to do that here. Now, why don't we do that? Well, we don't hurt anybody's feelings. No, you'd rather see them come and shoot three babies, take the mother off and make a sex slave out of her and cut the daddy's throat a block down the street. Congratulations, hero. But we're not in France. Oh, don't worry. They're doing it here. You, as an American citizen, go to Dearborn, Michigan, and start walking around talking bad news about Muslims. You may get to live two blocks. I doubt it. But you may. What in America? In America, we're a land of laws, but we're no longer a land of the free. We're a land of the foolish, the land of the tolerant, the land who's put lace on our pants instead of grenades. I don't know why God keeps putting up with us. I pray that he comes soon. For if this country deteriorates in the next 10 years, as it has in the last 20, there'll no longer be an America that you can recognize. Well, I didn't know it was that bad. I know. They've been taught you to be tolerant. No. No. I'm going to go by the law. You go by the law. If you come up me with a gun, I'm going to put a hole in your chest the size of an orange. I have that right. This book says so. See. And until a few more churches wake up and have been listening to Hannity and Bill O'Reilly lately, they finally got the message. Man, those two last week unloaded on them to the point I fear for their lives. I fear for their lives. Hannity and Riley both have bodyguards. But these idiots don't care if they die killing you. See, what you going to do to a man who don't care whether he dies or not? What do you do? Well, you kill him. Yeah, he's got $100 billion, people to take his place. Old story, and then we'll go home. Khrushchev and Mao Zedong, you remember them, both murderers, killers, both in hell. Went to war, China and Russia, and they're getting at it. And the first day, Mao calls Khrushchev. Yeah. Khrushchev, you started a war with us. Said, I know. And today we captured 1 million of your soldiers. And Mao said, I heard about that. Call you tomorrow. Calls the next day. Khrushchev, how things going? He said, pretty good. We captured 1 million of your soldiers today. He said, I heard about that. Wednesday he called, same answer. Thursday he called, same answer. Friday he called, same answer. Saturday he calls. He says, Khrushchev, how you doing? He said, well, we now have 15 million of your soldiers. And Mao said, do you give up? Because we can put 1 million in there every day until you are us. That's what's going on in America. Okay. Let them come until they make the law. Let them come till they can tell us what to do. Let them come until our views are way out here and the land of the free isn't free anymore and the land of the brave went away a few years ago and we are over with. Watch your newspaper. Watch your TV. You're seeing it every day. We're in bad trouble, folks. There's one person will get rid of that, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes to rescue his people, the Jews. And Ezekiel 38, 39, read it when you go home. It will tell you the names of the countries that are coming down on Israel. They're already lined up, by the way. You already know who they are. From Jordan and to Egypt and all the way around, they've got little bitty Jerusalem, half the size of South Carolina, backed up against the Mediterranean Sea. And only a fool can't see that they're coming. What you gonna do? They're not coming on horseback this time. They're not coming with drawn swords as they did last time. They're coming with nuclear weapons and can wipe Israel off the map. They're prepared to do it right now. Think they're coming? Of course they're coming. What are we gonna do? We're not gonna do anything. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I'll take care of it. And he's going to come and stand between Israel and those hordes. And the Bible says he's going to have them fighting each other. And he's going to wipe them out. And Edom shall fall on the hills of Jerusalem, according to this book. That's what's going to happen. Are you ready for that? Well, how do I get ready? Get a gun? No, get saved. You get on the Lord's side. You say, Lord, I don't know how this is going to happen, but you said it was. And everything you said from over here to over here has come true. Why in the world would I believe this wasn't going to come true? I believe your word. I believe who you are. I believe there's only one God, one faith, and one baptism, and I'm in on it. And if you're sitting here today and you haven't accepted Christ as your personal Savior, say, well, I don't know how to do all that. All you do is say, Lord, save me. Same thing you do if you're drowning out here. He'll take care of the details. I'm sorry for my sin. Please forgive me. I believe you are the Savior. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ is God Almighty. I believe you died on the cross to save me from sin, and I want to claim my salvation today. That's all you got to do. He'll take care of the rest. But if you hadn't done it, I'd do it. Because Ezekiel's getting ready to roll. And Edom is on the move. Happy New Year. If you haven't done that where you sit, do it today. You don't have to come up here. If you want to, you can. If you have something you want me to pray with you about, my prayers don't reach God any quicker than yours. But I'll be glad to join and cooperate with you in praying for what you need. And we'll ask you, if you will, today sometime, take time to pray for Anne. That God would touch her. And make her whole. Because if we lose her, we lose me. I just don't think I could go on. So if you have that burden today, you come up if you wish to. If not, make a decision for Christ. Live for him this week. And tell somebody about Jesus before we meet again. Shall we pray? Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, how we thank you that your word has always been true, and even those who claim to be Christians in seminaries and colleges try to say it isn't. I pray that they'll get saved, because a man cannot claim to be a Christian who calls you a liar. Be with those among us. Many have different ailments and sicknesses. Please be with Diane and Scott and heal them, if you will. Thank you for your goodness to us at the start of this new year, and maybe this is the year when we get to see you face to face. Oh, what a wonderful blessing that would be. to hear the trumpet blow and hear the words come up hither and see the dead in Christ arise, and then those of us who are alive caught up into the air to meet you and to evermore be in your presence. How we long for that day. Thank you for some gospel person along the way, whether it be a preacher, missionary, a Sunday school teacher, mother or dad, or total stranger. Thank you for whoever taught us about you and let us in on the greatest thing that ever happened, the salvation of our souls. In Christ's name I pray, and for his holy sake, amen.
If you could see what I once was, if you could go with me back to where I started from, then I know you would see a miracle of love that took me in its sweet embrace and made me what I am today. Just an old sinner saved by grace. I'm just a sinner.